Willie Mays played baseball right at that time when it was the sweet spot of baseball still being the national pastime, but television had come in so you could see, and people could see around the country how great a ball player he was. He played in the major markets and had the opportunity to win a World Series, only one, 25 times an All-Star. Played for New York, San Francisco, and at the end of his career, briefly for the New York Mets. Considered by many the best baseball player to ever play the game. Few people know as much about baseball as Bob Costas does. He's my friend. I'm glad he's able to spend a couple minutes with us to talk about Willie Mays. Bob, always great to have you on. Thanks.
Hi, Mitch. How you doing?
Good. So let's say someone's listening to us, because there are a lot of young people who really have no idea who Willie Mays was or why he was significant. Sum him up for us.
Well, you can say that if you're just talking about hitting, especially the way it's measured now with analytics and OPS and all the rest, he's going to be near the top of the list in almost any category, but not necessarily at the top, difficult as it is to compare across generations. How do you compare Babe Ruth, who played against segregated competition in an entirely different era, or even Ted Williams or Stan Musial from a generation that overlapped Willie Mays and his contemporaries? Difficult to do, but if you're just looking at stats, there might be some where Willie is not right at the top. But I think by now the overwhelming consensus is that if you take everything a non-pitcher can do, all the things that matter, Willie Mays did every one of them extremely well, and his aggregate score as an all-around baseball player would be as high as anyone that ever played, and maybe higher than anyone who ever played.
Mm. He did not get into trouble.
No.
He wasn't controversial. He often said, you know, I just kind of kept to myself and played the game of baseball. He wasn't interested in becoming, although he was flamboyant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly if you compare him to Hank Aaron or somebody like that,
yeah.
He was flamboyant. These days, you almost can't be a sports star unless you have a second personality as, you know, whoever you are as a human being. Why was Willie Mays able to become as big as he was without taking big stands on things or being controversial?
Well, A, because he was such a magnificent player, and B, because he exuded so much joy, and that was relatable. You know, even into old age, he had a boyish quality about him, and his eyes lit up when he talked about baseball. And you could tell, even if you didn't know much about the game, and you know, I've said this in so many places over the last 24 hours or so when I've been asked about it, but if you took someone to a baseball game who had never been to a baseball game, and the Giants happened to be playing, and that person might not know a sacrifice bunt from a sacrifice fly, and even if Willie Mays didn't do anything particularly spectacular that day, there was just something about his presence, the way he walked from the on-deck circle to the plate, the way he caught a routine fly ball, the way he loped around the bases even when he wasn't speeding for a triple. There's just something about him that was magnetic. And then when he did the spectacular things that only he could do, especially in center field, that was breathtaking. And he did it with such exuberance and such almost childlike joy that everybody could relate to that, and it was just so deeply appealing.
Bob, is it true that he wore his hat too small on purpose so when he ran, he wanted it to come off because he said that excited the crowd?
Yep. He purposely had a hat about a half size too small so that when he was trying to stretch a double into a triple and racing around the bases or racing into the gap to rob somebody of an extra base hit, the hat would fly off. And he told me and many others, you have got to entertain people. You know, he had that high-pitched voice. And one of my favorite quotes of his was, I can make a hard play look easy, but I'll also make an easy play look hard just to please the people. He was going to catch it anyway, but maybe he'd slow up a little bit to make it look like a lunging or running catch instead of camping underneath it. And his baseball savvy was off the charts. He was really kind of a baseball genius. He said, just as a matter of fact, not as a matter of conceit, he goes, I didn't need a coach. I never looked at the coach. I knew what the situation was. I knew if I could take an extra base. I knew what the other outfielders, what their arms were and what the game situation was. I didn't need a coach. In fact, he told me once that he said to his managers in San Francisco, you run the bench and I'll run the field. And with a flick of his glove from center field, he'd position the other fielders. And he said this to me, and he didn't say it arrogantly, which is a matter of fact. He said, if you didn't pay attention and if you didn't watch the flick of the glove, well, then you didn't play the next day. And I kind of believed him.
Yeah. You obviously, with all the interview programs that you've done and your love of baseball, I'm presuming you've spoken to him many times.
Oh, yeah.
Any particularly memorable conversations or, you know, personal moments with him?
You know, he was very funny. He was very anecdotal. And to the point you made earlier, there were contemporaries who were outspoken politically. And it was very significant then for athletes to do that because, in general, black Americans didn't have much access to the public other than a handful of entertainers and some athletes in that first generation or so post-integration. And so you had Muhammad Ali in an individual sport, and of course there was never anyone quite like him, the combination of skill, beauty, and personality, or a Bill Russell or a Jim Brown or an Arthur Ashe. Willie wasn't like that. Hank Aaron took that mantle as he started to approach Babe Ruth and faced all the bigotry, and he told many people that his real motivation to pass Babe Ruth was not to set a record, but to refute the bigots who had wished him ill. Mm. So he became a civil rights hero, and he earned that through his decency and his dignity. That wasn't Willie. You can't thrust upon someone who by their individual nature isn't suited for it. But was Willie important in his own way? Was America's embrace of Willie important in his own way? In its own way? Don't take it from me. Martin Luther King told Willie Mays that when Willie was still an active player. He said, you and Hank Aaron and, of course, Jackie Robinson, but others, the first wave of black players, you played a part in making it easier for me. And Barack Obama told Willie Mays the very same thing. His first year in office, Obama threw out the first pitch at the All-Star game in St. Louis, and he flew on Air Force One with Willie Mays to the game and later awarded him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And Barack Obama had a similar sentiment. He said, without you and without others in their own way, piece by piece, little by little, you helped to get me to the White House. So, you know, people lead their lives in different ways. Not everybody is called to play the same part. Willie Mays played a part that was true to himself, and he was a national treasure.
He will be missed and celebrated, and none better than Bob Costas to do it. What a pleasure to have you with us, Bob. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Mitch. If you have 30 more seconds, yeah. I'll tell you something that I have not often mentioned. In fact, I never told this story publicly until a few years ago when there was an HBO documentary, a very good one, called Say Hey, Willie Mays, and I'm glad they got it made, not just before his death, but he was able to contribute to it as an interview subject. And people should look for it. It's on HBO Max, and it really is an excellent overview of his life and career. But anyway, I told this story as part of that. My dad took me to a game at the Polo Grounds when I was 5 years old in 1957. I don't know if he had a crystal ball and knew that the Giants and the Dodgers were going to go west after that season. But anyway, he took me to the game. And I don't remember anything about it except the atmospherics, you know, the swirl of cigar smoke and beer here, get your scorecard, and how strikingly colorful it was when all you knew about baseball as a little kid was a black and white TV on a tiny Philco screen, and then it's like Dorothy leaving black and white Kansas and arriving in the Emerald City and all the colors.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, the emerald green of the grass and the white chalk lines, and the whole thing is just so striking. I don't remember any particulars other than that atmospheric part, except for this. At one point in the game, he says, Bobby, look at that player. No, not that one. The one standing in the middle. That's Willie Mays. As if he was saying to his son, that's the Washington Monument. That's the Grand Canyon. That's Willie Mays. Now, I don't know if he was that prescient, but he was in a sense saying, hey, look at that, remember that. That's 67 years ago, and I do remember it.
Mm. How about that? Mm. Thanks for that, Bob. Thanks for thanks for the conversation. See you soon.
Thanks, Mitch. Take care. Bye.
Bob Costas here on the Mitch Albom Program at 760 WJR.